Okay, so are you ready for some amazing marketing stuff? That was only like 10% of you. Seriously, aren't you ready for like amazing marketing stuff? It's gonna help you grow your business? Okay, that is way, way better. So I think the one of the fundamental things with marketing that's really important is to know exactly who you are and who you serve. That you really can't sort of engage in any kind of marketing planning, any kind of marketing execution until you really are clear on who you are and who you serve. Who you are, which is, you know, literally, who are you? What are you all about? What do? And who do you do it for? And so I wanted to get our perfect panel to be able to answer that question first for you so that you know a little bit about them and you'll know why their expertise is going to be even more valuable to each of you. So, Sarah, do you want to start, and we'll go right across?
Sure. I'm Sarah Chapin. I'm the CEO and partner in Hail Mary. And Hail Mary is a raw, vegan, great-tasting, healthy snack company that also is kosher. So it's all better for you and healthy at the same time while it tastes great.
And their snacks are right on your table. So you should dig into those yummy Hail Mary snacks.
My name is Carrie Maria. I am the owner and founder of the Monster Minders, which is the largest dog walking service in Philadelphia. We have numerous best of titles to our name. I'm also the COO and founder of a nonprofit organization called the Monster Milers, in which we pair local runners with dogs at animal shelters. We have over 330 volunteers, and we've gotten national acclaim.
Hi, I'm Narinda Brown Hyatt. I'm the co-owner of Brown Betty Dessert Boutique in Philadelphia, Northern Liberties and Liberty Place Mall. I'm also the co-author of the Brown Betty Cookbook, which is out in October. Brown Betty is a full-service bakery, but we're known in the city for our cupcakes. We've gotten two Best of Philly Awards for that, been featured by Rachel Ray, Oprah Winfrey, and others. Food and Wine just recently has given us a Best of Cupcake nod, so that's what we do.
Name dropper. You know you're someone when you get like Oprah, Rachel Ray, all in that same sentence. But they're lucky that they've been able to feature her stuff, so I'm glad you're here.
And how many of you guys use Twitter? How many of you guys use Twitter? So you guys might know me by my alias. So my name is Melinda Emerson, but my alias online is Small Biz Lady. And my mission is to end small business failure. I have a huge blog called succeedasyourownboss.com. I also host a weekly tweet chat on Twitter called Small Biz Chat. And I write a weekly column for the New York Times on how small businesses use social media in good, bad, and not so good ways. So I'm so excited to be here once again with my friend Tori Johnson. And I'm just going to give you guys all my good marketing tips.
I love your a recent column that I just read that you did about the restaurant that was doing like the coolest social stuff. So we'll figure out how to talk to everyone about that because it applies beyond the restaurant. But I was so fascinated about that column. Okay, so and Melinda, I want to start with you because the first thing that I want to do is just address and sort of knock out of the park some marketing myths so we can sort of just get some stuff out of the way at first. And then we're literally going to dive in and just throw a ton of ideas at you, a bunch of ideas, and give you some deep suggestions around a lot of those ideas so that you can pick and choose by the end of our time here, you know, what are the three or the five things that are going to work best for you. So one of the first things is that I hear a lot of small business owners say, Melinda, I would love to hear you address this, is that, you know, there's a direct correlation between the amount of money you have available to spend on marketing and advertising and the quality of the results that you receive. This sense that if I don't have a big budget, I'm out of luck.
That probably was true 5 years ago. That absolutely is not true now. I mean, you guys, social media is free, but you pay with your time. So you have to be very strategic about how you're using it. You also have to make sure that where you're spending your time online is actually where your best target customer hangs out online. You know, depending on what you sell, Twitter may not be it for you. If you're trying to reach C-suite executives, you need to be all over LinkedIn. If you're focusing on consumers, Facebook really is for you. If you're an individual brand or you're a retailer trying to reach a specific audience, Twitter is it. So you really have to research. You know, if you're targeting women and you have a visual product like you guys do, you know, with your bakery, Pinterest is where it is at. It's driving huge amounts of traffic and real business. So you really have to research first where your best target customer is hanging out online. But money is not the problem. The problem is strategy.
And you guys, Narendra and Carrie, you can weigh in because I think neither one of you spent any money. You know, it's really it's about time, right? So it's not. It's not about money. And in fact, I want to get all of you to address that it's not about how much money you spend in terms of the results. And if we're talking at the end of the day, the biggest result you're looking for is sales, making more money. It's not who has the most to invest in sales and marketing is going to receive the biggest return at the end. So what tell me your experiences there.
People often ask us, how much do you guys spend on advertising and marketing? And my answer to them is always the same. They're two different things. To me, advertising is when you're paying someone else to bring your product to a larger audience. What marketing is your entire business image. So it's more than just taking out an advertisement in a magazine. It is how you pick up your phone, how you deal with your clients, the tone of your website, how current your blog is. So marketing is something very attainable for all of us because there's always something that you can do at the end of the day. You can't make your phone ring, you can't make the media call you, but what you can do is you can say, okay, I've got 30 minutes. I'm going to do a blog post right now, or I'm going to update my Twitter page, or I'm going to make sure that my website is current. So for me, a lot of the marketing that we've done with our own business has been completely free. It's just been our time.
I think those are all excellent points. I would say that every decision that you make for your business, you should also think about it as a marketing decision from your colors, the colors of your, you know, for us, I'll just use our examples, boxes, stickers. When we want to freshen things up, we change the color. I look at color palettes, even in fashion magazines. I mean, these are things that don't cost you. Just to think, what if it's appealing to the masses because it's in Fashion Week, then maybe it'll be appealing to change that color and use it in my bakery. So I think those are all things that you can do for free or cheaply, grabbing a couple of magazines and thinking about your color palette, thinking about the ways in which you just keep your business fresh.
And the other thing I would say is, because these aren't high dollars, but they are targeted dollars, is for us, and I think it applies to every one of us, if you think about how people use your product and what they enjoy or what the end benefit is, and then you associate how you market your product with the end benefit. And find your audience, as we heard. Let me give you an example. We knew that our products, which are all certified gluten-free and are vegan, but have an aspect to them that really celebrates healthy oils, had a couple great targets: yoga moms, working women, and those who don't have a choice about how they eat, those who are gluten-free. And so what we did was we made sure that they had trial or they had samples, and we found people who talked about things, and we put our product in their hands. Or if there was an event where somebody was already marketing an event, our product was a part of that, so it benefited from their marketing dollars that became advertising dollars for them, that for us was really about strategic placement. So I think sometimes we don't think about placement of product as marketing when very much it's at the heart of how to get your message out there.
And I think, you know, one of the things that that I hear all the time from people is, oh, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, it doesn't really work, I haven't really seen any results. Or, yeah, I went to this event, and yeah, there were a lot of people there, but I didn't get anything out of it. And there's this expectation of overnight success, instant results. If I sort of put forth a little bit of effort, I can get something back big in return, or I'm entitled to something big in return. And I think all of you would say that there are no shortcuts, and it's not going to come fast. So when we dive into all the specifics, like, that's the caveat to know in advance. Like, none of this guarantees that, you know, by Friday, business triples.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's actually one of the most common questions that I get. People always want to know, well, you know, how did you get 175,000 people following you on Twitter? And I was like, one follower at a time. You know, I never used one of those Twitter adder services or anything like that. All of my traffic was organic. But the other thing I want to tell you, too, is that I was on Twitter for 18 months before anyone paid any attention to me at all. So you've got to think about, and this was all just pre-work, setting it up, making people aware of my service. Now today, between my blog, Twitter, Huffington Post, and the New York Times, I reach 1.5 million entrepreneurs a week on the internet. But that did not happen overnight. And you really, really consistency, in my opinion, is what separates you from your competition. It's not being smarter, it's showing up every day. You know, I treat Twitter like a job. I put myself in charge of ending small business failure, right? So every single thing I do, every single thing I tweet, everything I share is towards that goal. And you need to think about, if I were to look at what you do online right now, on your blog, on your website, on your Twitter, on your Facebook, would it tell me who your customer is? Would it tell me what your goal is? Because if it doesn't, then you got to switch some stuff around. Because I promise you, if social media is not working for you, it's because you're not focused enough. It's because you don't know who your niche target customer is, and because you might be talking about your cat in a tree one day and your business the next day, and you confuse people. When you confuse people, they turn off. So just think about that as you think about how you're building your social media footprint out here for your small business.
And I would say you could use different social media outlets for different things. You know, I mean, people do sometimes want to know what your personal life is like. You just maybe shouldn't put that on your website and on your blog. You know, you can decide. So sometimes I will put pictures of my baby up on Instagram, and I see a lot of businesses that I admire and that are very successful doing some cross personal, wanting to give people a sense of who you are. And that does, I think, drive certain people to be inspired to use your product and to like who you are and what your brand stands for. I don't put those kinds of things, though, on my website. You know, I keep that strictly about orders and cakes and business. And then I try to, you know, use Facebook in a way that has discretion as well. I don't put pictures of my kid on Facebook as a general matter. I try to put pictures of cake on Facebook even, or events, you know. So I think it's trying to decide what your goal is and who you're targeting with each of these outlets. And then you can, you know, better focus yourself if you have a mission for each one of these.
Okay, Carrie, I want to dive in to some of the specifics. And one of the first that I think is sort of the fundamental, and you certainly touched on this, but I want to expand on it, is using customer service as a marketing vehicle, as a form of your marketing. And it's something that you take very seriously every day.
Yeah, I firmly believe that 10 customers that are thrilled with you is going to go further for your business than an ad in a magazine. Right now, we don't spend any money on advertising. Probably 75% of our new clients are people that have heard about us through word of mouth. And there's a saying that people really only talk about businesses if they're really upset with them or really happy with them. So we have to just make sure that our clients are always thrilled with us. You know, and like I said earlier, this covers how we answer the phone. Are we friendly? Are we knowledgeable when we answer the phone? Do we make our clients feel like they're just a number, or do we make our clients feel like we actually know who they are? We know who their dog is. I know who my employee is that takes care of their dog. So all those little things that gets people talking about us, saying, you know, I really like using the Monster Minders because they're just so friendly. And that's what people want from our type of business. We're in people's homes. Therefore, we have to be a very personalized service. It would be a lot different if we were an accountant. You know, we are in people's homes. They want to feel like they know us. They want to feel like when they call our office that we're there for them. So for us, I would say that most of our marketing is literally who we hire as managers, who's picking up the phone, the tone of our emails, and how we relate with our clients.
And I think even just, you know, an email piece. There was a business, it was a week or 2 weeks ago, that we wanted to order cake pops from for a big event. And sent in the email like we are instructed to, and got this email back that said, we only check and respond to emails like 2 specific days a week. Well, you know, a customer doesn't operate on that kind of timetable, right? So
doggone 4-hour work week book really messed a bunch of people up.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe Tim's running that company, right? And so little things like, you know, automating, you know, emails, it sends an immediate sign to somebody that you know, customer service, that customer interaction isn't all that important. And so I really, really believe that that customer service piece is something that is within all of our controls. We all have the ability to control that. Do any of you have some customer service specific thing you want to add? No? Okay, you're about to.
I wanted to say that you do sometimes make mistakes. And I think that learning how to handle that and teaching your employees how to handle making mistakes is an important part of marketing. For us, I mean, sometimes a cake falls. Sometimes, you know, someone puts cream cheese on vanilla. We try not to have that happen, but there's human error. I have humans working for me in the bakery.
Sounds like a delicious kind of error, though. Like, that's okay.
Like, I'll take that one home.
Yeah. But you would be amazed at how people could be really upset about that and how you handle that from the person who put it on to the person who's getting the call when the customer calls upset. And to me, when it gets up to my level, I think it's all, again, a part of marketing, letting someone know, yes, we will give you this coupon or this gift certificate to come back again. I'm so sorry. Please, you know, I don't want this to color your experience of Brown Betty. It's how we try to handle it so that people are left feeling like, I'll try you again. And I think that that's part of marketing as well.
Sure, absolutely.
And nowadays, you know, experiences like that could cost you a lot because of sites like Yelp.
Yeah.
You know, so you definitely want to make sure. I actually have a small customer service story that I'll share. So last summer, I decided to start testing Living Social and Groupon. Like, I started just buy a couple things just to see because everybody was talking about it. And I bought a certificate from a cleaning service to come to my house. And every time I called, I could never get an appointment for them to come. So finally, I called them, like, I don't know, 8 days before my coupon was about to expire. And they were like, don't worry. We you know, it was right around the holiday time. We're really swamped. But, you know, we'll honor your coupon next year. So I was like, okay, no problem. So early January, I call them and I say, listen, you know, I got this coupon. First of all, the scheduler could not have been more nasty to me. And secondly, they weren't willing to offer my coupon. They were willing to offer me what they had to pay to Groupon for my coupon. And I was like, I write for the New York Times. They don't even know who they're talking to, right? And I'm like, you know, I don't use my power for evil too often, but, you know, I really could. And, you know, but you just have to be really careful about who's answering your phone, because I did go out on Yelp and ding that company. And I did actually write a story that you guys may have seen on Open Forum. I didn't name them because, you know, I wasn't trying to get sued or anything, but I definitely wrote a story about, you really have to be prepared, particularly those you guys trying to do daily deal promotions and stuff. You guys need to make sure that your business is ready for that level of traffic and that kind of close-up, because people do need to be able to schedule. They've already paid their money, so they're like, yo, where, how can I get this coupon redeemed? And you want to make sure that you give them a great experience, because you can't get those reviews off. So it's extremely important that you manage your brand the way she's talking about.
Okay, another marketing tactic, something that's worked very well for me, could work well for all of you here, speaking engagements. Sarah, you want to tackle that?
So this is a really fun story, because it applies really to potentially everyone in this room and out in this entire convention center. So I'll use a personal anecdote. So 3 years ago, I keynoted an event that had about 3,000 women in Las Vegas. And a young woman came up to me and asked me if I would be her mentor. And she knew that from the fact that I was starting a young company and we were in a pool cabana and I'd always run really large companies, that it was kind of a crazy time. So she offered in exchange, like right up front, wasn't trying to negotiate to be a part of her life. But she said, you know, I'd like to do whatever I can do to help you. What's one thing I could do for you? And I said, just, you know, if you'd make sure you shared that we exist, you know, to people whom you know. But I was happy to help her. And she was really smart. She didn't just leave something open-ended, because she really did have a direct mission. She was somebody who was hoping to be in career transition, because she knew that where she was at in her career was on a path that wasn't going to a great place. So she asked very simple things. Could you review my resume? Would you make two introductions of target companies you think would be good for me? I'll do all the follow-up, but just, so she was really smart. And this is a young woman who couldn't have been 30 years old. And I thought we went about our lives. I would check in on her routinely, mostly through LinkedIn. Okay. She says, let me do something for you one day out of the blue. I attended a workshop by Tori Johnson, and she had been in a Spark and Hustle meeting. And she thought that I should know Tori, and then she thought Tori should know me. And that's how our introduction took place. Now, mind you, this was a journey. Tori was starting to expand her conferences, so I wasn't looking for a speaker slot. We were trying to understand how we could help each other grow. She had a beautiful audience of people who were also our target market. So we didn't have a lot of product at the time. We were hand-making it in a pool cabana. So we offered it in some gift bags to raffle off at an event in each city they were in. And I thought that that was that. But Tori came back and offered an opportunity for a secret deal just as we were growing and starting a brand new website back in December of last year. This past summer, we had the privilege of being a deal of the day, which had such an amazing
outcome. On Good Morning
outcome.
America. She's talking about my GMA segments.
Yes, her GMA segments. And so the ripple was so beyond what was expected. None of us went in with an expectation of how do we do anything other than support each other. But the outcomes, ripples continue. And I use that as an example because the first event had no tie to the second, which in turn had this ripple out there. And in turn, this young woman continues to move and grow in her career. And it's just one of those positive circles that just keeps spinning. And I think that's the whole point of these Spark and Hustle workshops. The hustle part, like you talked about, can be very targeted. And speaking forums are a great way for people to sample product. And then if you leave and you think, hey, I might like this, where is it sold? What do I do? How do I help? And in turn, we want to know, how do we help you? The whole thing really just starts to expand exponentially.
Thanks. That was so sweet of her. I didn't even know she was going to say all that. Really, though, it's because she gave me these chocolate macaroons that are, like, so beyond heavenly. I wanted to be able to have them on GMA because they were so good. They still are really, really good. The rest of you, you do speaking stuff, too. Like, why'd you say yes to this? Why'd you guys say yes to this?
Oh, Tori, you gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. No.
Because I know where you live if you didn't say yes to this.
Well, you know what? I mean, for me, I travel around the country, and I speak a lot. I actually even speak internationally. And I actually don't get a chance to speak in Philly that often. So, obviously, with the Pennsylvania Women's Conference, it would be ridiculous if I was in town not to speak at this event and be a resource to my community where I live. And plus, I always love to have an opportunity to meet my fans or to see some of my Twitter peeps out here, my small biz chatters, you know. So it's just an always good opportunity to sit and talk with good women about good ideas.
And I think, though, it's not just about giving and being charitable, right? So it's not just about sort of giving of your time and talent. I think it starts from that place, because if it doesn't, you're sort of in trouble. So you've got to, you know, look for speaking engagements where you know that you have something great, of great value to add, that you'd be delighted to go and give of your time and talent. But something amazing happens in return from that. I know that when I was first affiliated with this conference and I came to speak, not expecting anything in return, just by the association, some of the sponsors then hired me to come do speaking engagements in their companies. Some of the women who attended this event then came into my other Spark and Hustle events. And so good things wind up happening. Like Melinda gets clients from speaking at these events simply because someone says, like, I need more of that. Anyone who gets, you know, a new puppy and decides, like, I need a dog walker, you're going to remember, oh my gosh, there was this woman who was so super smart and has this really cool company that does dog walking. Like, I need to check them out. And you're going to pray that you get that mistaken cream cheese frosting instead of vanilla, you know, when you've got to order a cake. Like, you remember, right? You, like, it plants a seed. And so what audiences can you speak in front of? You know, are there groups, whether it's, you know, the PTA or a business association or conferences that take place? If you had to, in the next 3 months, do some kind of speaking engagement, where would it be? Where are your prospects? Where can you find them? How can you use speaking engagements? Because
sure, if I could just add one last thing to that is, and you don't have to only be the speaker, just be in the room. There's so much that comes from being in the room. So attending something, and you might not even be able to afford something you need to attend because you're just getting started. So volunteer to work something so you can be in the audience or say, gee, might I do something, and make sure you have your elevator pitch, which is why you need to come back for Pitch It in the afternoon. But think through so that you can take advantage of the opportunity.
And depending on what kind of business you have, you can create opportunities for you yourself to speak through your own business. I mean, I think people are doing that more and more. A woman that I admire very much, Life Pilates, here in Philadelphia, she's doing all types of speaking engagements for herself through her own business. For us, we can do baking classes and use that as a vehicle to reach our customer more hands-on, more directly. And so I encourage you to think of ways you can create your own venues to speak and reach your customer.
Absolutely. And I think the key, when you're attending events, is that you connect with other people, that you meet with other people, that you don't look at it as, I'll just come and sit here like a wallflower and hope everybody comes to me, or I'll just pass out my business card to 100 people and hope somebody decides to call me back. But it's about being proactive, about making an introduction. If you meet someone who you think, wow, she could be such a dynamo for me, she could help me, you ask for her card so that you're in charge of that follow-up and you're not relying on hope, which we know isn't a strategy.
I would also say, too, whenever you go to an event like this or any networking event, really try to get 5 quality contacts. And I say 5 because you really don't have time to follow with 10 people, do you? Right? So once you get your 5, anybody else you meet is gravy, right? But get your 5. And don't do drive-by networking like what Tori was just talking about, walking around giving your card to people without talking to them. Yeah, that's a waste of a business card, because they're not going to follow up with you. So make sure that you give them the eye contact. Be present. Don't be looking over their shoulder at the next person that you might want to go chase after. Be present with that person because you don't know who their brother is, right? You don't know who they know who might be able to help you even if they can't. So that's really my best advice about networking events.
Collaborations and partnerships I want to talk about. 2 different ways to look at them, and I want each of you to be able to give an example of this on either side, either a collaboration or a partnership for profit, immediate profit, or for promotion. So for example, this event here. So I started, my connection to this event was just as a speaker several years ago. And a couple years ago, the organizers of the event said, like, we want to work with you in a more sort of strategic way. Let's create this Spark and Hustle small business track. Let's jointly go after sponsors. Let's jointly work on registration together. And let's jointly share in the profit. So that's a collaboration that's clearly profitable. We are both working toward a financial goal connected to the arrangement that we have. Then there's another example. How many of you are familiar with, or some of you are either involved in, like, Count Me In? Do you work with, you know, Nell Merlino? Yes, yay. So Nell and I very often, promote one another's events because we share the same audience of small business owners. And so many times people will say to me, oh gosh, I was sort of surprised that I saw Spark and Hustle mentioned in the Count Me In newsletters. Like, aren't you guys competitors? Because you share the same audience, because you're both in the small business space. But rather than look at each other as competitors, we really look at each other as collaborators, as complementary partners, as the ability for, you know, sharing, where the pie is so big for whatever audience that you're going after, that you can look at people, instead of sort of initially viewing them as a direct competitor, really seeing them as a potential collaborator. And I would highly encourage you to do that. You know, if you had to say, gosh, what's another company or individual or business that I'd love my name mentioned in the same sentence as theirs? You know, you can go make that happen. That doesn't have to be a pie in the sky dream. And each of you have done very similar things and have very successful collaborations and partnerships with all kinds of organizations. And I would love for each of you to just share one of those, just to give some really concrete ideas around this, because I'm such a big believer. It's really how I run both my Women for Hire and my Spark and Hustle business, with tons of collaborations that really work. And it's not just about, hey, like, each of us will send out an email. I mean, you can do little things like that, but the ones that, like, really impact your bottom line, really move the needle, are, you know, the couple that you invest a lot of effort into, and there's a huge win-win for each of you, and then also obviously a win for the people that you serve. So Sarah, but let's go through everybody to give an example of this.
Okay, so I'm gonna use Omni as an example, because it started with a hustle. So partnering for promotion was the fact that the Super Bowl was going to be in Dallas, Texas a few years ago during the Ice Bowl, unexpected. And so we made sure that we provided product and that we thought again about who could sell our product. We couldn't afford to be an official sponsor, but the Hail Mary pass is kind of a natural, right? Pass to good health. So we made sure that all these different places that were in all the tourist spots, the sixth floor museum, the convention center, all kinds of places were selling Hail Mary. So people from out of town couldn't help themselves. They were kind of assaulted with Hail Mary. But we also provided our product to some of the official Super Bowl parties, because sponsors were doing their own parties like Coca-Cola and others. But when the Super Bowl was honoring prior major football stars, they did this whole special room that Hail Mary, they did display. They spent all kinds of money on things. In turn, Omni Hotel attended one of those events, who now in turn have become one of our most successful partnerships. Omni buys product from us, and they provide it as a turned-down service product in every hotel across America. And in turn, we provide to them nutritional counseling. We help their chefs. We go in and train what gluten-free means, because Dr. Claudia Pillow is one of our team members, fantastic gig leader. So we provide a service back to them that's not only dependent on product. But in turn, this continues to grow and to build. And because it started with placement, we couldn't afford to give everything away, and then to target, and then partnerships become something you both work on for the end value of the gain of the health, say, of a specific customer.
I think our product's a little bit more local than your product is, so our partnerships tend to be more of a local partnership. So what we've actually done with other women business owners in Philadelphia, we actually have a group of women, there's about 10 of us in it, we all own some sort of business in the pet care industry. Some of us are trainers, some of us are daycare owners, but we all come together like numerous times a year, and we talk about things that are affecting us. We have an online forum that we can share. We can bounce clients back and forth between each other, and we're just a voice in each other's lives. So if I need to recommend a vet, I have a vet that I can go to and say, look, I have a client that's going through this. Have you ever seen this before? Because her vet can't figure it out. And they're doing the same with me. When they have a client that they're dealing with who don't have a dog walker that they don't like, they bounce them back to me. And we've gotten numerous media contacts just because we are friendly with people that are technically our competition. There are women in this group that are my competition, and rather than viewing them as, you know, these people that I'm trying to dominate and rule, we've actually come together and said, okay, we both have some knowledge in this industry, we both have contacts in this industry. What happens if we put our knowledge and our contacts together? How much further can we get? And we actually grow together. And it's great when you're going through tough times or you're going through great times that you have someone to share that with. So it's not necessarily a partnership in which I give them product, they give us product. We're there for support. And that's really, really important as women business owners. I encourage you, if you're out there and you feel alone, know that there are other women business owners out there that would like to support you and would like your support in exchange.
So think about, you know, are there three complementary businesses in your space that you can connect with and form some type of mastermind or collaboration like Carrie's doing?
I would say that collaboration has been important to me in gaining inspiration too. So I just want to put that out there. I look at people who I'm inspired by what they're doing, even if it's in a different industry, and see if there's a way that I can use some of their energy, their mojo, and help me move advance my ball. For instance, there's a woman I went to high school with. She went off to Urban Outfitters. I'm doing my thing, and she designs clothing. And we keep in touch all the time. Her name is Nick Fish. She designs like clothing that you would wear out in the world, not aprons. But it came to me that why couldn't we collaborate on an apron that fashionable people might want to wear? I mean, baking is back now. We don't have to wear frumpy, you know, bland aprons from Williams and Sonoma. Why not a denim ruffled apron? And so that's what we're working on, you know, those types of collaborations. Another woman I met, she was an art student when I first met her. She did a video of me just for a project she was working on, and I kept her name and number. I thought, I want something different in our new space. And I asked her if she would design a mural for our new space, which she did. And she bought a muralist. I mean, it's beautiful. I love it. I love it so much. When we got the book deal, I told the publishers, I really want to use this mural. They used it for the in papers. Now we're also going on our book tour. She has a great following in D.C. and Baltimore. Let's collaborate, bring both of us together, use both of our connects to create this great stop in Baltimore at a bookstore. And so I just want to say that these things, you know, they're organic. You should think about looking at collaborations that might not at first appear to make sense. But if you keep pushing, you know, keep thinking on an idea, sometimes those can be the best collaborations.
And certainly, I operate in so many collaborations with my corporate clients as well as with my colleagues, my fellow small business experts. You know, I actually belong to a mastermind group of 25 women who work in this industry in sales and marketing with small business. And we actually get together physically every year for a conference somewhere in the country for 2 days, and we share ideas. Everybody shares what they're charging. Everybody shares what they're working on, what their latest thing is. We share vendors. I mean, it is the most healthy relationship I have with other business people anywhere. And what I love about it is that we also have a LinkedIn group. So we also do monthly, professional development events for the group. And it's really a wonderful thing. One of the other things that I do, too, is that I have another group of small business experts that are also in the media and stuff like that. And a lot of times, if I'm booked for an event, usually those people can't book me the next year, but they might ask me, who should they book to be their keynote speaker at this fabulous event in Jamaica next year, right? And so there's like six or seven of us that we, give work like that to each other. Mm-hmm. And it's great because, I just think that there's 26 million small businesses in the United States. There are 10.8 million women-owned businesses. Tori Johnson and I are not competition to each other because there's entirely too much need out here in the marketplace. So you really just have to look at it, just like she was saying, there's all these other people, even other dog walkers. They're not really competition because your customers think you're special for a specific reason.
Carrie, thank you notes. Handwritten acknowledgments, like just the power of the handwritten note.
Yeah. One thing that we always have done, we send handwritten notes to people. It's one thing to send somebody an email that says, hey, thanks for being a client. We love you. We actually, every year, we design postcards, and every single one of our clients gets them. And they're personalized. Maybe we'll talk about something that the dog is working on training-wise. We also send them out to our business contacts saying, hey, it was great seeing you at that event. They go a long way. We see our postcards on people's fridges 3 years later. They're keeping them. People will send us emails saying, oh, thanks so much for that postcard. And it's really weird because we all get these postcards from our dentist, that says you missed your checkup or hopefully you have a checkup. And it doesn't really feel that personal because it's printed. When you actually write a postcard to someone or you send someone a thank you note, it goes a long way. And it doesn't take that much time. If I'm having a day where I'm feeling a little bit down about stuff, I didn't get as many calls for new clients as I wanted, I'll pull out the postcards and I'll send five off. It's an instant mood elevator. There's nothing like telling people that you appreciate them that will lift and elevate your mood and give you inspiration on what you need to do to make your business move forward.
And what I love about the strategy that she said was on her down day, she did five things to bring potential more business in the door. And what I call that, you guys, is a storm starter strategy. So whenever you needed to rain money in your business, right, you need to do five things. You can send five emails, you can write five notes, you can make five calls, you can write five blog posts. Okay? But you really just need to do five little things. And you'll be
amazed. It's about taking action.
Absolutely.
Not just praying that it shows up, but like really taking action. To make it rain. Right? To make it rain. Yeah.
Make it rain. Melinda,
can you talk for a minute about sharing content? So there's a lot of people who share great content or who create great content, whether it's blog posts or articles or whatever it is that they're creating, using some of that content to package it in a way that can attract new customers, that can be really leveraged and served as a great marketing vehicle. Because a lot of times people write great stuff and nobody's reading it.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you can do to make sure that the content that you're creating is being shared and read and getting to the right people to help bring in the customers?
Well, the first thing you should do is build community before you start developing content. One of the things that I did, particularly with Twitter, is I was on Twitter 6 months before I launched my blog, just three times a day. I would tweet out a helpful article. I would tweet out something personal about myself. My 6-year-old son is great material for me to have things to tweet about. And then I would answer somebody's small business question every day. And I did that for 6 months. And then I launched my blog. So the first day I launched my blog, I had 6 comments on my blog day one. Now, that's how you do it. The other way you do it, too, is on LinkedIn. If you all have a free LinkedIn account, you can join up to 50 groups on LinkedIn. So if you are blogging, you should be sharing your blog content in your LinkedIn groups as well. So you need to be leveraging the other places to drive traffic. But the other thing you need to do is your blog needs to be good, guys. You know what I mean? Like, you actually need to write helpful content for people. Answer people's small business questions. I like to say you should start with your customers' pain points when you're thinking about what you should start writing in your blog. But let me also say this about my blog. My blog is the secret sauce in my business. The New York Times called me and asked me to write for them because they read my blog. So a blog is extremely powerful, because when you blog the right way and you're doing all the social media things that you should be doing, when people call you, they're calling you and talking about availability and price. They're not talking about whether or not you're the solution to their problem, because they already know.
So if you had to give three specific tips, one I'm sure is about consistency.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than going to a blog and seeing the last post is from 2 years ago.
Right.
Right? And, which is very, very common. It's very, very common.
I know.
You click on the blog link and it's like, whoa, this blog doesn't matter. This isn't worth my time, because it's not worth the business owner's time. So it's three, if you had to give someone three specific things, who's like, you know you need to blog, you know it would be applicable to your expertise, but you just need a little Melinda Emerson tactic to like go do it.
You should be blogging at least twice a week. You also should carve out one day a week, if you can, to develop content. Don't take any meetings, don't do any calls, just develop content if it's really going to be a strategy in your business.
So that means you're not seeing if there's time, you're making time.
Yeah, you
if
schedule
it. If we're saying
it.
That something is really important, it's scheduled. It's part of your routine.
The third thing you should do is start commenting on other people's blogs, because that builds social media footprint too, particularly if it's a blog that you would like to, let's say, guest blog. And if you're just getting started and just trying to build your credibility, reach out to people with bigger blogs than you and ask them if you can be a guest blogger. Here's a newsflash. I post guest blogs to succeedasyourownboss.com every Tuesday. And you don't have to be somebody who's huge on Twitter. I love to discover people and give them an opportunity for people to find out about them if you have valuable content. So did you catch the newsflash that I accept guest bloggers? Okay. All right.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like that whole strategy is really based on serving other people. So if those blogs were all about buy from me, you know, selling, pushing.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Your fans and followers and friends would flee really, really quickly. And so, like, for us with social media, it's like 80% is really just about serving other people, sharing stuff that's happening in my life, my business, sharing things that I think articles or stuff that I think other people would find interesting, answering people's questions. And then 20% is, like, selling. Like, hey, register for this event or buy this book. And that's very transparent when you do that. But if the numbers were reversed and it was like 80% of selling, like none of us log onto Facebook or Twitter because we want to be sold to, right? We want to be entertained, informed. We want to connect with people. We want all of that good stuff. And so we have to assume that those that we're targeting want the same thing.
And Tori, if I could just add, I would tell people to use a 4-to-1 ratio. Share other people's stuff over your own. Because if you
why?
Guys
so explain
me,
why.
Well, because the easiest way to make a friend in social media is to share their content.
Which is why there's like a retweet button and a share button on
Absolutely.
Facebook.
Because that's what it's about. You really want to be seen as someone who is about other-centeredness. I mean, when you use social media, it's really about the help mantra. You should help others. You should engage with people. It's not a one-way communication. You should thank people for retweeting your stuff. You should answer people's questions. You also should listen first. You don't want to assume that you know the culture of each different social media site, because Facebook people do not want to be talked to like they're Twitter people. They don't like hashtags and stuff. You got to be careful. The other thing, too, is you want to promote yourself with care, because like Tori said, nobody wants to hear, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. Oh, by the way, nobody wants to hear that. So you need to really use social media as an attraction device. You're trying to attract your best target customer to come find you because you do such a good job of demonstrating why you're their best resource.
Pursue awards and enter contests. So I know Carrie and Rinda, you guys mentioned right off the top a lot of best of things. And I think contests and awards can be really great ways to promote your business and to attract attention. So I'm interested in hearing from all of you, but you guys have some specific local stuff.
Yeah, I would say a key for us, because we also do not do advertising, we haven't found that that's been beneficial, is to figure out who in the industry you think people respect here. I mean, Philadelphia Magazine is huge. Getting the Best of Philadelphia Magazine Award is very big. Food and wine, I mean, you can't, bon appetit. In my industry, these are leaders. And so you want to figure out, I'm always trying to figure out, who do I want to associate with? Who, if this person says that Brown Betty is good, does that make other people perk up? And so we try to get product in front of those people as often as we can. I do spend money on a publicist. And, you know, I found that to be more helpful. She can figure out who's the food editor at what magazines. We just went to New York for a day and went to as many magazines as we could with cake and cupcakes for the whole staff, if not, you know, whatever they wanted. So that even if we didn't get written about next month, that these people would think about us when they have their holiday cake story coming up. I mean, these are things that we do every now and again just to stay fresh on people's minds, who we want to be thinking of us, even if they're not right now.
We do also have two Best of Philly titles under our belt, and we've also been named Best by Philadelphia Style magazine twice. And with us, we actually don't pay for a publicist, but we know directly that we've gotten those Best of Phillies because of word of mouth. And it took us a few years to figure out who knew who at what magazine, but we eventually put it together and said, oh, that's how Philadelphia Magazine figured out about us. So that goes back to my whole point about customer services. You never know who knows an editor of a magazine, and you need to treat all of your clients like they're best friends with the editor of Philadelphia Magazine, because somebody told somebody at Philadelphia Magazine that we are awesome, and it jump-started our entire career. So for us, we don't necessarily enter contests for Best of Philly. A lot of the Best of titles we've gotten have been editorial Best ofs. They haven't been vote-generated Best ofs, but I just want to remind everyone out there, you never know who knows somebody in the nightly news. You never know who's the editor of a magazine. So treat all of your clients like they could be the editor of the magazine that you want to get into.
If I may add for small businesses too, so our first Best of Philly was in 2006, and I want to say that we did not have a budget for a publicist or advertising or anything. I was our publicist, and I went around, and you can find these things out yourself. Like, I went, got magazines, got the city paper, got Philadelphia Weekly, figured out who was writing on food in those publications, and wrote them myself on my business's behalf. I told our story. And so our first Best of Philly, our first award period, our first review, all came from my own effort at my computer at night trying to figure out what was my pitch. So I want to say for folks who are starting out that please, again, to go back to the point about you don't need money, especially, I mean, this social media was not what it is now in 2006. I was literally, you know, looking through the pages of these magazines, and you can do so much on the internet with finding out who is writing or who is editorializing on whatever it is that your industry is.
And I would just like to say, too, I have never had a publicist either. You know, even now I don't have one. So my blog, again, does all the talking for me. And so you really want to think about that. My LinkedIn profile does, too. I have 54 recommendations on LinkedIn. I'm one of the top recommended people on LinkedIn. You guys need to be using these people who love you as an unpaid sales force to give you recommendations. Now, in terms of contests, I'm now at the point where I get to judge lots of very cool contests. So this year, I was actually a judge for Facebook's Big Break contest. Did any of you guys see that? They were giving away $25,000, okay? You guys need to be entering all this kind of stuff. Chase was giving away, I think, $250,000, and I was actually involved. Involved with that too, their Mission Small Business Contest. These are things you guys need to be paying very close attention to. But let me give you guys the inside secret. Every single one of those people who won, how they use social media was almost 50% of how the finalists were selected. They also almost make you go back and get your followers to vote for you. Like, that's now becoming the thing that they're doing. So how you use social media really has a lot to do with whether or not you're even going to be able to compete, because they really are looking at, do you have an audience? Do you have a following?
And that's good news, because it's free. I mean, let's go back to that. That's all very good news, because you have those tools available to you when you go home tonight.
So there's two aspects to that. So one, I do want to start with the consumer, because we do believe the engagement is so important, as we were discussing. And so often, God bless you, often what we'll do is hold a contest ourselves on social media. So what we'll do on Facebook is have a contest for fans. It might be a photo contest. It might be a t-shirt design contest. One was just, you know, record yourself. And one of my favorite and most moving spots was a mom who sat there with her severely allergy-sensitive children eating while she spoke. We had another fan whose fiance happened to be a producer, so he photographed her in the best image spot we have about ourselves, all because it was a submission, and now she does demos for us. So you never know where it might lead you. On a more formal basis, we've been so grateful we won Best Vegan Award nationally by Veg News Magazine because it happened to be at a trade show. We entered our new product. Now, we timed the launch of our product because there are criteria for some of these things. So we used an appreciation and respect for a media calendar to launch a product that we had a lot of confidence in, but we'd use social media to test. So like this holiday, we will have new flavors of macaroons that aren't on the market that next year will be on the market, but we're refining our flavors. So we'll use social media and only announce that on our 50,000 plus Facebook fan access wall so that they have a chance to be part of the inside squad. But before they even get it, we're going to take the bloggers to whom we're so grateful. We're reaching out to these bloggers. They're getting care packages 2 weeks from now with photos and content. We don't want to throw their response. We want their genuine feedback. And then, by the way, when people buy their holiday tin, there'll be a golden ticket in there because they can, you know, try for an iPhone 5 because they gave us, we don't have money to reward everybody, but there can be that chance, the gift that kept giving. We really want their feedback, vote and rank these products because we're trying to pick which ones are going to go to market. So we're trying to de-risk a business decision, use social media, and just try to tie a calendar across of who do you talk to, how often do you talk to, show respect and care, because that's the other piece I want to say is loving, caring, and respecting those bloggers who take the time to talk about us. That is such an important customer, not just the retailer, Whole Foods or Wegmans. It's the person who takes the time to say, I'm going to use my audience on your behalf that we are indebted to.
Okay, I want you guys to prepare right now about asking questions. This is going to be your turn to ask the questions. And the only last thing that I would want to add to that is if you had to think of, you know, one or two or three awards that you would love to win, you know, go make it your business to find out, you know, what are the awards or the contests that are applicable to your business, to your industry, to where you live. There's so many different criteria. It could be industry-based, geography-based, small business in general-based, women-based. I mean, there's so many different criteria. So if there were three that, you know, you've heard about or that you're interested in, like, go look up the timetable on it. Go look up the criteria because it's such a powerful way to get a ton of attention for your business. Not only the chance to win sometimes amazing, amazing prizes, but also just the promotion that goes around it and what that can do to really change the trajectory of your business can be just incredible. So who has questions? Okay, so there's three mics. Do all three of these work? Are we okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, good, okay. So let's go, you'll see these three mics that are right here in the center of the room. So to ask your question, you actually have to like stand up and go to that mic and we're gonna tackle all of them. You ready, you wanna go first? Yonia, go ahead.
I don't really need a mic.
Okay.
Within 7 to 10 days of you providing service to them or a product to them, they should hear from you and you should ask them for a recommendation. You should send them a link to your Yelp page. You should send them a link to your LinkedIn. You should give them ways easily right there in that email that they can become an unpaid sales force for you with a recommendation.
Melinda and I have a really good friend named Lena West, and Lena has this saying. She's like, when you don't ask, you don't G-E-T. And, like, too often, we just don't ask, like, flat out. It's not about, like, a magical way to ask or some special tricky language to use to ask. Like, you just have to ask. You have to ask. And most people, when you ask them, especially...
They'll say yeah.
Yeah, sure. Especially when you make it easy for them.
Exactly.
To do it. So you're including the link. You're not saying, like, go find that link, but you're including the link.
Absolutely.
Hi. This question is for Melinda. My name is Lisa, and I am a Twitter virgin.
Ah.
So I would like to know like you mentioned, the top three things to do as a blogger, what would the top three things as a Twitterer be?
Okay, so as a Twitter version, let's say, okay, so first of all, you need to go to my blog because I have recently written a lot of blog posts about this, including, you know, 12 things you should tweet about on Twitter, 12 advanced Twitter tips. I also have a new ebook that's about to come out called How to Be a Social Media Ninja, 101 Ways to Dominate Your Competition Online. It's going to come out October 15th, so you guys should try to pre-order that now because the price is going up the day it comes out. How to Be a Social Media Ninja, 101 Ways to Dominate Your Competition Online. If you guys go to my website, it's succeedasyourownboss.com/ebook offer. You can find it. The other thing, too, is I'm actually doing a free webinar for Verizon on October 10th called How to Be a Twitter Ninja. So if you guys look in my Twitter stream as Small Biz Lady, you guys can get the link to sign up for that. And it is completely free, and it is October 10th.
Thank you.
And I think doing things like free teleclasses, we hosted for the first time, we usually do these like 20-minute teleclasses, and it's a great way for us to just serve our audience. We use a service called freeconferencing.com. It literally is free. You can get your own phone number so that you can host your own events. If you don't think that you've got enough content to share for 20 minutes on the phone with your fans and followers and your community, you could interview somebody for 20 minutes. We choose 20 minutes because I don't have a long time span, and I'm accustomed to like 3-minute television segments, and so if I can pack a lot in 3 minutes in a TV segment, I know I can do a lot in 20 minutes. But we did something last week where we expanded and we did 6 sessions back to back, and 1,300 people participated on average in each of those sessions, and those were all new people for us to reach. It didn't cost us any money, but it was a great way to just serve that audience. Some of those people then registered for our events and bought stuff that we weren't even like promoting anything. It was really, but bought our books or bought other things or like I said, registered for things simply because they just liked their connection to us, and we weren't even selling anything. So the ability to do teleclasses, if you're not very web savvy, you know, don't jump in to host some, you know, big WebEx event, but just do it by the phone. And it's a really good way to serve your community. So I'm glad you mentioned the Verizon program. Okay.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, all of you, for spending your time this afternoon or this morning and sharing your wisdom with us. My question is more for those of us who come from the business-to-business end of things. A lot of typically when we attend these kinds of mass, media seminars, it tends to be a lot of, well, I said, I have clothes, I have cakes, I have other things, and that's great, but I feel like a lot of it's challenging to use a lot of those strategies when we're looking to address HR executives, or we're looking to find the chief learning officers of corporations. What kinds of recommendations might you have, Melinda? Perhaps this would be best for you. And a second question from that would be how to get on the speaker list, how to find organizations that you can get to. I would love to do more of the public speaking, but it's hard to get to the tops of those lists.
Sure. Well, let me answer your first question because I sell B2B. I'm not a retailer, so I know what you mean. Really blogging, again, and using social media effectively, if you're trying to reach people, I think in your industry, it sounds like LinkedIn is going to be a really good place for you to spend a lot of time. In terms of speaking opportunities, I really think you'd have to look at your own trade associations and other events that you attend and find out if you can, you know, talk to people about speaking at the next general body meeting or whatever, and then expand out from there. I mean, just look at the industry and trade associations. Look at your local chamber in your area. You know, those are good places to start for speaking opportunities.
Yeah, and I'm on the board of publicly traded Caribou Coffee and have been for a number of years, but I've served on the board of directors of more than a dozen for-profit companies over an 18-year span. And so a lot of those companies are B2B. And so very much to echo, there is such an opportunity in the B2B front to do exactly what was described. So a great example would be in your industry, if you're trying to reach HR professionals, look at people like Circa who provide data. Go Google what they sponsor, and you'll find that they were trying to reach an HR professional or, you know, the old Towers Perrin and the different kind of groups who serve your customer and see what they've sponsored, and you might find their events. The other thing that I'd suggest you do is that you go out there and you say, okay, what gatherings are happening in my own community that I could be more a part of? So, for example, in my community, which happens to be Dallas, although I'm a Jersey girl, we have the Dallas Business Journal put on an event every year that reaches a lot of different businesses. It can be as simple as the old-fashioned joining your chamber. It's amazing because this whole idea of the network working really does matter. And or serving through philanthropic efforts. You know, I'm very active in the Children's Defense Fund and supporting Mrs. Edelman wherever she gathers. And it's amazing what you can find like-minded businesses through some of even your community outreach.
And I would say, like, don't overlook even just the basics on Twitter. You know, there so many of the people that you want to reach are on Twitter. When we were putting together our big, we just did this past summer, a 20-city tour for Spark and Hustle. And we had this dream of, like, having a tour bus. And I was like, oh, well, we're not really rock stars. A tour bus isn't going to be it for us. But maybe we could get just, like, a wrapped SUV. And so I started to search for people on Twitter who worked at Avis in marketing because all of my really good contacts were at Enterprise and their budget was spent. And so before I was going to, they offered a free car. And I was like, before I take the free car, maybe I could get someone to actually pay me to take their car. So let me try to make some money on this first. So I didn't have a good marketing contact at Avis. I didn't have a company at all, a contact at all. And so I found some people on Twitter, followed them, started like talking to them, chatting with them a little bit, and a couple days later I was like, hey, I have a really great idea that I want to pitch to Avis. Can you tell me who the best person is? They gave me the best person. That person said yes. That didn't happen like in 20 minutes, but it happened over like 3 weeks, all because I found that person initially through Twitter, because it's really, really hard business to business to oftentimes get people to take your meeting, answer your emails, answer your call.
Just finding the right person is the hardest thing.
Finding the right person and then also interesting that person. And almost everybody is pretty responsive on Twitter, right? Because it's cool to be responsive on Twitter. You should be responsive to people on Twitter. So we often get faster answers from people on Twitter than we get by calling.
Yeah. All day.
All day, all night, all weekend. We get faster responses than we do sending an email or calling their office, right? Like, you don't want to get stuck in that voicemail hell, but you can get a really fast answer on Twitter. And it happens, we do it all the time for the business-to-business side of what we do. So don't overlook that. And then the last thing I would just say about conferences, identify 5 conferences that you want to speak at because your competitors are speaking there. Contact those conference organizers. This conference, for example, on their website, they have a speaker submission form. So don't assume that everybody is just knows who you are and is, you know, if they wanted you, they would call you. Pitch yourself as a speaker or ask an assistant or somebody else to pitch you as a speaker, but help them by identifying 5 places that you'd love to speak. And then go find out what is your criteria for speakers. Sometimes it's right on someone's website. Other times you have to ask, you know, what's the criteria? And then follow it.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Abby. I have an online business.
Talk a little closer to that mic. Oh.
Okay. My name's Abby, and I have an online business called Print Art Kids. So you mentioned, Melinda, about retweeting and sharing other posts. Are there ever any issues to be concerned about with regard to copyright or content?
No, not just sharing somebody's link that they've already shared. No, I mean, I wouldn't share something you didn't read from somebody you didn't know. I mean, like, I have about 50 to 60 people who I know are trusted resources. So, like, let's say Tori tweets something out from her blog. Well, I wouldn't read it. I'd just share it because I know Tori, and I know Tori's not going to share any junk. You know what I'm saying? So, but you should be very careful about what you share until you get to know the person and you get to know their content. But no, there's no issue around copyright or something just sharing someone's content online.
Okay. Someone's going to thank you, not sue you.
Exactly.
You're going to be happy. They're going to be appreciative.
Exactly.
But don't take their content and reissue it as your own.
Right.
It's a big difference.
That's a copyright problem.
Hi, ladies. My name is Allison. I'm a professional organizer in the suburbs, so I'm not selling a product. I'm selling a service. And my question to you is, as I'm starting my business, I'm struggling with logo and website. Is it really important for me to invest a lot in that, or is this something I can go to, like, logonerds.com for $20 and get my own logo?
You could probably go somewhere and get your logo done, but your website is your front door to your business. It's, like, more important than anything else you could possibly
do. So if I'm going to spend funds.
Yeah, if you're going to spend your money, spend it on your website.
Thank you.
I would say on all of that, I mean, I think your logo is important, too. I mean, if you have it in your budget to do people expect such a high level of professionalism even from
especially if I'm going into their small
businesses now. Like, I mean, you know, people are looking for you to look like a company that they can trust and that they want to use. And so I think that those are dollars well spent to make yourself look as professional as you possibly can. I would suggest, though, that you think about looking at like graphic design interns. I go on Craigslist sometime when I just want to get, some intern help, people who want to start building a portfolio, so you don't necessarily have to go to the biggest design firm in the city, but maybe you could look on Craigslist and put out an ad for design help. And I've been able to interview really talented people who are just looking to add to their portfolio by creating logos that real businesses use. And so that might be a way for you to cost effectively get a logo done.
Do you recommend bartering services in a situation like that? Whereas
if you can, absolutely. Absolutely.
Crowdspring.com is another good resource.
I'm sorry?
Crowdspring.com is another good resource.
And again, Twitter is a great resource for this stuff. You find people all day long. Build your website, do your logo, all kind of stuff on Twitter.
Okay, we're going to move now to speed Q&A. Like super speed Q&A so we can get through everyone who's standing. So go ahead.
Hi, I'm a massage therapist here in Philadelphia. I also have an office in Manhattan. I do specialized work. I specialize in craniosacral therapy, which is a pain management technique that I use. My question is, what social media tool I can use that is the most effective for me? Because I'm a one-woman show. There's only so many hours in the day. What do you recommend so I can get people in the door to experience my work?
Can I say suggest something that I've seen work before? It's offering your service, which I know is not free to you, but you could perhaps, you know, do without expending money, to someone who is big named or famous here, an athlete. I'm not sure who would best benefit from your service, but I have known a masseuse who did very well in the city by first starting with, you know, having a clientele that was highly successful, and she did that by offering massages to them at free of cost or a reduced rate, and they know lots of people who can pay higher rates. So I think, you know, that isn't my personal experience, but I've seen it work and work here.
I think a really good Facebook page and very targeted Facebook ads probably would do very well for your business. I'm not sure that blogging, you know, is what you need to do. Yeah. But I think, you know, getting really good testimonials on a Facebook page and doing some targeted Facebook ads, because people in pain are looking for solutions. So I think that if they find you, I think that it really could be a benefit to you.
I would also say if there are any physicians or anybody in the medical community with whom you could align to make sure that they know what you can do, and maybe by offering to do something for them, they could get their own personal experience, much like the mini athlete idea, and then they may be a feeding source to you.
Thank you.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay. Firstly, I want to say, Sarah, those pecans are amazing. and I just thought, you know, where have these been all this time? So thank you. My question is for Melinda. You mentioned about having a huge Twitter following and also people following your blog site. So I run a software company, and our product is used by big corporations, and they can't get enough once they start using our software. It's a very innovative software. And we've just released a version for small business, so it's on the cloud, so they can share all the documents, share meeting minutes, you know, just anything to get organized if people are in multiple locations. Now, we have blogs, but how do we attract people to our blog?
And if you don't build community online before you start blogging, nobody's going to see your blog.
Right.
Right. So you know what I mean? So you got to go out there and be a part of the community, and then the community will support you. Right? That's why you just, you know, you're like tree falling in the woods. Is anybody hearing it? No. Because you got to get out there and really start building relationships with people who will help you push your message.
So put our blog article in other groups? Or
yes, put your blog articles in other groups. But again, start sharing other people's content. The fastest way to make a friend is to be a friend, right? So you've got to start doing that online, and then people will come and support you. If you've got a product, a software product, you need to start giving it to some technology, small biz technology bloggers, and asking them to review it. That's what I would do if I were you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Will you talk to them after? We got to move on. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Michelle Meltzer. I'm here with my partner, Jung Duffy, and our company is Bread and Butter Productions.
and we provide creative event planning services for good causes. And our website was just completed today.
Yay.
So we have our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our LinkedIn page is ready to go. So my question is, what do you recommend we do as the steps to launch the business through social marketing and target our customers and also not bombard people with information? Because we already have 3 events that we've booked over the next couple of months.
Uh-huh.
So we want to make sure to launch the business on social media. And
I would launch it on one account, mm-hmm. and I would figure out where your best target customers were and pick that one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do all of it. You have to do one of them really well. And once you dominate there, then you spread out to others.
And that's true for everybody here, no matter what stage your business is at. If you barely have enough time to maintain a Facebook page, don't start opening up accounts that you're going to, you know, barely, if maybe you get the account just so you claim the name, but don't feel like you have to be everywhere.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere.
You don't recommend posting on Twitter and having that link to Facebook?
No, I do not. No. Because again, remember I told you, Facebook
Lazy.
People don't like to be talked to like they're Twitter people, right? No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to share the same content everywhere anyway. You want to share different stuff around.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Heidi, and my question is for Narinda. Earlier you mentioned about how I think you partnered with someone who had done a mural, and then you were going to then have her do some work, I think, on a cookbook.
Yeah,
but
she did
how does that work, I guess? How do you pay? I mean, how does that setup work? Like, if you have somebody that you want to partner with a little bit, how does that work financially? I hope it's not too much of a personal question. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just trying.
It's
I'm
good to talk about
that.
Money. Yeah, it's okay to talk about money. It, don't apologize about talking about money.
Right, no,
did you pay the muralist?
Right. So I did pay for the design of the mural. I own it. You know, so it's all about how you set up your relationship. So I don't pay every time I use the mural. I paid for her. I commissioned the work, and now I own that work. That's Brown Betty property, and I'll use it wherever I like. You know, and it benefits her. She has a credit in the book. We're doing, you know, it benefits her for me to put it around. But I'm not paying her every time I decide to use it.
Okay, so you just flat out it becomes your property, and then
on that project.
Right. Okay.
When we talk about the aprons, we're doing something different. So I think it just depends on what makes sense for each business relationship.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, don't kill me. Those two. This has to be our last question, but these four
not go anywhere.
Will stick around, and 2 of these 4 will be back for our pitch it session this afternoon that you should all come to. So, so don't kill me. You're far enough away from me that you can't throw an egg at me even. But I'm going to get in trouble if we don't end exactly at 12:30. So go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lily, and this question is to either or all of you. I'm out here. This is my first step out into the world. I have an idea, and I was listening to television on our Living Well Network in Baltimore, and Tori came on talking about the hustle and spark. And I said, I have to be
spark and hustle.
Spark and hustle.
Oh, sorry.
Some people say hustle and flow, though, so you got the 2 words right. So that was good.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have a great idea. It's going to benefit everybody, men, women, and children.
What is the idea? What is the idea?
See, that's where I'm stuck.
Here's what you need to do. You need to come to pitch it this afternoon, okay?
Okay.
The after lunch, back in this room, is a pitch it session. And here's what's most important. Too often, we either can't tell someone else our idea, so if we can't even get it out of our head and say it in a sentence or share it with somebody, it's dead, right? There's no chance, like, because ideas don't make money. It's the execution of that idea that's going to make money. So if you can't even say the idea, so you have from now till lunch... Oh, you're afraid to say it because everyone's going
to
steal it. Because everyone's going to steal it. Right. So you should worry more about us caring about your idea and us loving your idea than us stealing your idea.
Right.
Too often, we keep everything so close to the vest, we don't tell anybody anything. And what are we left with? Nothing. So I think you have to care much more about people being interested in your idea, people rooting for you, people giving you feedback on your idea, people wanting to invest, people wanting to support your idea versus people stealing your idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen, right? It's about the execution of that idea. And if someone else can take it and run with it, you know what? God bless them. Because they probably can't. They're not going to have the passion that you're going to have. So what is it? We have 20 seconds. What's the idea?
it's about being short and manufacturing to short people or people who have amputees even.
Yeah.
In fashion.
Great. So what's the problem?
I don't know how to even get it off the floor.
Great. That's why you have to talk to people about that. Because who thinks there's someone in this room who could help her with that idea? Is there anyone in this room? Keep your hand up for a second. Keep your hand up. If you think you can help her with that idea, keep your hand up. Okay, those are the people you need to sit with at lunch. Those are the people, right? It could be one person, two people.
Actually, you come here. You come here.
Okay?
You come
here. You'll go to her, okay? So that just happened because you shared your idea. You shared your idea.
I'm going to give you an autographed copy of my book, How to Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, okay? Come on, get it. Come on, get it.
There you go. Okay. So literally 20 seconds each of you, 20 seconds, tell everyone if there's one thing that you want them to remember, that you want them to do, what is it? Sarah. Oh. Make someone else go first.
One thing I want you to remember is put your network to work. Really, don't wait for people to discover you. Make sure you manage the network that you can manage. And if you can do that for me, please go to our website for Holiday Tins. We would appreciate it.
My tip is to remember that customer service is very important, and don't underestimate how you talk to people, and just remember that every customer could be an asset to you.
My tip would be to start with believing in your product and making sure that you think you're bringing the best product that you can to market, because that's what you have to market. That's the only thing you have really going for you, is this amazing product. Like, I believe in my cake, and that's how I can market it most effectively. So don't forget in the blogging and the social media and all that to focus on doing the best you can of whatever it is that you are trying to market.
All right, say it with me. Start using Twitter. Okay, and I want you guys to come to my small biz chat every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I answer people's small biz questions live every week. Tori has been my guest. We bring guests on every single week, and we answer people's small business questions. This is free advice, guys. And then every Thursday on my blog, succeedasyourownboss.com, we post a complete Q&A if you missed it the night before. So this is my mentoring program. This is what I do to help you. This is my mission to end small business failure. So please, please, please take advantage. Small Biz Chat, every Wednesday night. Use this hashtag. You see this shirt? This is the hashtag, #SmallBizChat.
It's fun to participate. It's fun to ask questions, but it's fun even if you're just reading what everyone's talking about. But
for the Twitter versions, go to my website. I have a how to, every week we tweet out 5 times how to participate in Small Biz Chat. 5 times. Like, if you guys go to my Twitter stream tomorrow when we do Small Biz Chat, you can click on the link and I give you step-by-step instructions for how to join us. But let me tell you something, guys. Twitter is where it's at. Please, please, please start using Twitter. All right?
Or else. The last thing that I want to say to you guys is this. Nobody is coming. Right? Nobody is coming to rescue any of our businesses. Like, we're in the midst of a presidential election. That's not going to determine the outcome of your small business success or failure. All the stuff that you heard here, none of it is valuable unless you put it into action. And I hope that you, hold on one second. I hope that you will take that to heart. That nobody is coming to rescue any of us, that it really is up to each of us individually to go make great things happen. And I hope that you will put into practice at least 3 of the nuggets, if you have to sort of, you know, condense to 3 things that these 4 shared with you, you'll be on your way to making good things happen. And I hope that you'll keep all of us posted.
Good luck.
We're all active on social media, and we all appreciate that you came in here to join us this morning. So enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes.